Welcome to the East County Magazine Live Radio Show, the voice of East County, bringing you the hottest news and coolest events from the communities of San Diego's East County. We're your community radio, representing the public interest, not special interests. Broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso with your host, Miriam Raftery.
This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, recording at our studio in East County. Today, we devote the first 15 minutes of our show to the latest updates on the COVID-19 outbreak, with multiple cases now in Southern California, including San Diego County, and over 3,000 deaths worldwide and 100,000 cases diagnosed. County health officials are advising residents, businesses, and schools on how to prepare for a pandemic. That includes preparing for possible quarantine at home for up to 2 weeks for you and your family. Find out what you need to know on today's show. Plus, hear why the U.S. is drawing criticism for putting politicians instead of scientists and medical professionals in charge of our nation's response to the rapidly spreading virus, which a new report indicates has a higher death rate than first believed, especially among older patients and those with other health conditions. We'll also have health news about several mumps cases at San Diego State. Next up, we'll have the latest on the presidential primary, followed by local election results for the hottest races in East County, including two open congressional seats, a supervisorial race, school bonds, and the Lemon Grove sales tax initiative. We'll have highlights on the winning candidates' views on key issues and reactions from both sides on the Lemon Grove measure, which could determine the future of the financially strapped city. We'll also have results on judicial races and countywide land use initiatives, Measures A and Measure B. Then on Destination East County, hear about top festivals and events coming up across our region, including a Latinx film festival, concerts, car shows, a literary festival, St. Patrick's Day festivities, and an extravaganza at Santee Lakes. On People Power, hear how to get free prom dresses and accessories in El Cajon. And then on Green Scene, learn how climate change is impacting kelp forests off California's coast and why that matters. Hear about efforts by California to fight for children's rights being weakened by the Trump administration. And finally, learn about a major breakthrough in DNA technology to help find more missing persons. So stay tuned for today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show, where East County matters. Governor Gavin Newsom has declared a statewide emergency amid news of 53 COVID-19 cases diagnosed in California and the first COVID-19 death in our state. New cases include an LAX airport screener, cruise ship passengers, a South Korean flight attendant at LAX, and an AT&T store employee in Otay Mesa here in San Diego County. California health officials are now monitoring 9,400 cases in 49 counties statewide. The Otay Mesa AT&T worker was sent home after falling ill on March 2nd. Stores have been closed briefly countywide to clean and sanitize them, and some have already reopened. The employee and family are under self-quarantine at the worker's home in Orange County. The city of Chula Vista states it believes current risk to the community is low, but the city will coordinate with San Diego County to continue monitoring the situation. San Diego has already declared an emergency over COVID-19 after the first cases occurred in travelers quarantined at the Miramar Marine Air Base, and those travelers later recovered. While county health officials advise people not to panic, they are also urging residents, businesses, and schools to prepare for a possible outbreak. Residents should stock up on a two-week supply of food, water, medications, and pet supplies in case of quarantine. Have a plan for caring for family members who may need help and children in the event of a school closure. Businesses are encouraged to ask sick employees to stay home if they have symptoms of acute respiratory illness and clean all frequently touched surfaces in the workplace. Providing paid sick leave and time off to care for ill family members can also help prevent spread of COVID-19. Schools should be sure emergency plans include prevention of infectious disease spread, alerting health officials of any spike in respiratory illnesses among students or staff, encouraging those who are ill to stay home, cleaning surfaces, and asking everyone to cover their mouth when coughing or sneezing, using a tissue or elbow, not hands. The first California death from COVID-19 was an elderly patient believed to have contracted the virus aboard a Carnival Princess cruise ship traveling from San Francisco to Ensenada, Mexico, between February 11th and 21st. The patient was taken to a hospital in Placer County in Northern California and later died there. Those in close contact have been quarantined. The ship canceled its plans to dock in Ensenada, Mexico, and later sail to Hawaii. Governor Newsom has ordered that ship and its current passengers to remain docked offshore at San Francisco, with passengers and crew quarantined until testing is completed. At least one other passenger has tested positive for COVID-19, and others are ill with symptoms. The new form of coronavirus was first diagnosed in China in December 2019 and has since spread around the world. Los Angeles County also declared an emergency after 6 new cases were diagnosed this week. The airline screener last performed medical screenings a week before falling ill and reportedly followed all appropriate procedures, according to Associated Press. In Orange County, 2 cases have tested positive but are awaiting confirmation by the Centers for Disease Control, or CDC. The San Diego AT&T worker similarly tested positive locally and is awaiting CDC confirmation. Most of the cases are linked to people who traveled to other countries with outbreaks, such as Italy, China, or Korea. The statewide emergency declaration allows California to free up resources to help stop spread of the disease. The emergency declaration also allows jurisdictions to share data to better address spread of the virus. Newsom earlier asked the legislature to make $20 million available to respond to the virus and ordered the Department of Public Health to use reserve funds to buy millions of masks to protect healthcare workers who may be treating coronavirus patients. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
Cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed worldwide on every continent except Antarctica, causing approximately 3,000 deaths, the World Health Organization reports. San Diego County has 141 people being monitored who may have been exposed, and Mexico recently reported its first case. Now, a major study published in the Journal of the American Medical Association reveals that the COVID-19 virus has a death rate nearly as high as the 1918 influenza epidemic, which killed 50 to 100 million people worldwide and infected a third of the world's population. The standard flu kills only about 0.1% of those infected. By contrast, the 1918 epidemic had a fatality rate of 2.5%. COVID-19 has a death rate of 2.3%, according to the study results of over 72,000 patients published in the Journal of the American Medical Association. But the death rate is much higher in older people and patients with underlying health conditions. COVID-19 has killed 14.8% of patients over age 80 and 8% of patients in their 70s. It's also more dangerous for people with certain medical conditions. The fatality rate is 10.5% in people with heart conditions, 7.3% for those with diabetes, 6.3% for patients with chronic respiratory diseases, and 5.6% for cancer patients. The World Health Organization had earlier estimated a much lower death rate than the rate now identified, after many more cases have been studied. Severe lung damage is what's killing patients with COVID-19. Symptoms of COVID-19 include fever, cough, and extreme shortness of breath. If you have symptoms, you should make testing arrangements by telephone to avoid infecting others in the hospital or medical clinic. Though the death rate from COVID-19 is still far lower than from the SARS virus, COVID-19 appears to spread more easily because people can be contagious for days before showing any symptoms. This makes it harder to quarantine people if they are not known to be exposed. Fear of COVID-19, a new form of coronavirus first identified in late December in China, has prompted global disruptions. Cruise ships with outbreaks have quarantined passengers for weeks. Some schools in Japan and China have shut down for a month or more. Major festivals and tourist attractions around the world have been canceled, and in the U.S., the stock market plunged over 900 points in a day. Although no locally transmitted cases of COVID-19 have yet been identified in San Diego, County officials have declared a local emergency and a local health emergency to free up resources to prevent and respond to an outbreak. A key worry of California health officials is the potential for a COVID-19 outbreak reaching the large homeless population, where many people with underlying health conditions would be particularly vulnerable. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
The U.S. is drawing criticism for a slow response to COVID-19, the new coronavirus first identified in December in China that is now spreading rapidly around the world. Critics contend that the U.S. has put political considerations over public health concerns. President Donald Trump disbanded the team of scientific experts in 2018 who would have been tasked with preparing for and handling pandemics in the United States. To save money, he left key posts at the Centers for Disease Control in charge of pandemics vacant and further sought to slash CDC funding. His administration also allowed some exposed cruise ship passengers back into the U.S. without waiting for test results. Now, Trump has put Vice President Mike Pence in charge of the U.S. response to the COVID-19 outbreak, instead of putting health officials in charge. Pence will also handle all White House messaging on the virus, a move that has critics concerned that health and science experts could be muzzled. Pence has previously drawn criticism for his handling of an HIV epidemic in Indiana that slowed efforts by public health officials to contain the disease there. To date, COVID-19 has infected over 100,000 people in at least 60 nations, killing approximately 3,000 people. The first U.S. death occurred in Kirkland, Washington, where an outbreak is suspected at a skilled nursing facility where dozens of residents and healthcare workers have fallen ill. Now, President Trump is drawing bipartisan criticism. Vermont Senator and presidential candidate Bernie Sanders calls the Trump administration's response to the virus inadequate, misleading, and dangerous. Sanders calls Pence unqualified to lead the administration's response to the COVID-19 crisis, adding, "The president has made clear that he's more concerned about his own politics than the health and safety of the country." During a political rally, Trump dismissed Democrats' criticism over his handling of the coronavirus as a hoax. But in Senate budget hearings, top Republicans grilled Health and Human Services Secretary Alex Azar and Acting Homeland Security Secretary Chad Wolf with sharply critical concerns. The Republican chairman of the Senate Appropriations Committee, Alabama Senator Richard Shelby, during Azar's hearing, accused the Trump administration of making a lowball request for funding to combat this crisis. "It could be an existential threat to a lot of people in this country," Shelby warned, adding, "Money should not be an object. We should try to contain and eradicate this as much as we can, both in the U.S. and helping our friends all over the world." During the Homeland Security budget hearing, Republican Senator John Neely Kennedy of Louisiana blasted Wolf for not providing enough information about risks from the outbreak. Kennedy told Wolf, "You're not giving us enough information to keep us safe, and the American people deserve some straight answers on the coronavirus. I'm not getting them from you," he said. Botched federal action also appears to have allowed introduction of the COVID-19 virus into California. The first two confirmed cases of community spread of the virus were near Travis Air Force Base in Northern California after politicians overruled the Centers for Disease Control and airlifted 14 infected persons out of quarantine, bringing them to California without waiting on test results that later proved positive. The CDC originally recommended that passengers on the Diamond Princess cruise ship stay in quarantine docked off the coast of Japan. But Republican Congressman Phil Rowe of Tennessee reportedly had a friend on board and insisted on repatriation against the professional assessment of the CDC. The congressman eventually won out over science. The Bay Area is now ground zero for COVID-19 community spread in the United States. There are now cases of community-spread COVID-19 in Solano and Santa Clara counties in Northern California, as well as in Oregon and Washington states. Solano County is home to Travis Air Force Base, and Santa Clara County is only 90 miles away. Some suspect the virus spread there due to inadequately protected healthcare workers involved in the transportation of those cruise ship passengers who were airlifted out of quarantine zones and taken to Travis Air Force Base. Some countries in Europe, Asia, and elsewhere are shutting down major events, such as festivals and conferences, to prevent spread of COVID-19, but the U.S. has ordered no such formal measures to date. The World Health Organization has urged all nations to be sure healthcare workers are properly trained and that hospitals have adequate equipment, including respirators and oxygen, as well as testing availability. Some major airlines and other carriers have canceled travel plans to areas such as China and Hong Kong due to COVID-19 fears. Many travelers are also canceling trips abroad to there and elsewhere. As consumers seek more information on COVID-19, hoaxes are popping up online. Social media sites have blocked some fake news about COVID-19. One such hoax caused sales of Corona beer to plummet, although the beer is made in Mexico, not China, and has no connection to the COVID-19 outbreak. There are also reports of racist taunts and backlash against some people of Asian origin. However, Asian Americans are no more or less likely to catch COVID-19 than anybody else. Even President Trump has spread some misinformation, such as stating that he expects the outbreak to end when the weather warms up. The disease was discovered in December, and it's too early for health officials to know whether it's sensitive to temperature and humidity changes or not. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery.
San Diego County has over 140 people being monitored due to exposure to COVID-19, the new coronavirus strain first identified in China. The county's public health laboratory has announced that it can test for COVID-19 locally and will no longer have to send all specimens to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Before, test results took several days. Now, results will take just 24 to 48 hours, although positive tests will still need to be confirmed by the CDC. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county's public health officer, says this is great news to help contain spread of the virus that has now killed over 3,000 people worldwide. She adds that local testing means patients under investigation can more quickly have unneeded restrictions lifted if tests are negative. If a test is positive, the patient will remain isolated to protect the public. The County Public Health Lab now has the capability to do up to 40 tests in one run. The lab is one of dozens across the nation certified by the CDC to test for the new coronavirus. Brett Austin, director of the county's public health lab, says the number of specimens we've been getting for testing is currently low, but he adds that the county is ready to increase capacity if the need for testing grows. The CDC recommends testing patients with symptoms, fever, cough, or difficulty breathing after a person returns from China or other areas with community transmission of coronavirus disease. Testing is also recommended for people who have had known contact with the confirmed COVID-19 case, since it is possible for an infected person to spread the disease even if they have no symptoms. The risk of COVID-19 is still very low locally, health officials assure the public, especially if you have not traveled to an area where the virus has been detected and have not had close contact with the patient who tested positive for this new coronavirus. To limit the spread of infection, you should wash your hands often to help protect you from germs, avoid touching your eyes, nose, or mouth, and avoid close contact with people who are sick. If you are sick, stay home and keep your distance from others to protect them from getting sick too. Cover your mouth and nose with a tissue when coughing or sneezing, instead of using your hands. Practice other good health habits to strengthen your immunities. Get plenty of sleep, be physically active, manage your stress, drink plenty of fluids, and eat nutritious food. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
This is Miriam Raftery with a health alert. 6 San Diego State University students were diagnosed with confirmed or probable mumps in late February, the County Health and Human Services Agency reports. The 6 students all live off campus at Boulevard 63. That's a large apartment community on El Cajon Boulevard. Dr. Wilma Wooten, the county public health official, says these 6 mumps cases represent a small outbreak of this highly contagious viral disease. The best way to prevent mumps is by getting the measles, mumps, and rubella, or MMR, vaccine, she adds. The county isolated the students and also held free vaccination clinics at the apartment complex for residents and students. Last year, San Diego County had 66 cases of mumps, a 25-year high. So far this year, there have been 4 cases in addition to those diagnosed or suspected at San Diego State. There is also an outbreak of mumps in Baja California, Mexico, where 900 cases of mumps were reported last year and 138 cases so far in 2020. Health officials recommend 2 doses of a vaccine, which is normally given at 12 to 15 months and again at age 4 to 6. County health officials recommend that all students at San Diego State complete the two-dose series if they've not already done so, and a third dose is being recommended to anybody who lives or works at the Boulevard 63 apartments. Mumps is spread by coughing, sneezing, or close contact with an infected person. Mumps can cause fever, headache, earache, and inflammation of the salivary glands, which result in swelling and tenderness of the jaw. Anybody who thinks they have mumps should contact their provider before seeking medical care so that precautions can be taken to prevent exposing others. Severe complications are rare, but can include meningitis, decreased fertility, permanent hearing loss, and miscarriage during the first trimester of pregnancy in extreme cases. There is no treatment for mumps. However, most people do recover without problems. For more information on mumps, other vaccine-preventable diseases, and vaccines that protect against them, you can contact the County Health and Human Services Immunization Program at 866-358-2966, or you can visit their website at sdiz.org.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
Vice President Joe Biden and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders both scored big wins on Super Tuesday. As of our show taping deadline, Biden had secured 453 delegates and Sanders 382. A total of 1,991 delegates are needed to win the Democratic nomination outright and avoid a brokered national convention. Biden swept the South, winning Texas, Alabama, Arkansas, Massachusetts, Minnesota, North Carolina, Oklahoma, Tennessee, and Virginia. Sanders won California, the most delegate-rich state, as well as Colorado, Utah, and Vermont. Since delegates are awarded to any candidate with over 15% of the vote in each congressional district, even a second-place finish in larger states can rake in substantial delegates. In California, Sanders picked up nearly 37% of the vote, and Biden nearly 25%, with all precincts counted, but mail-in ballots remaining. Michael Bloomberg received 14% and Elizabeth Warren 12% in California. Bloomberg has since ended his candidacy and announced his support for Biden. Amy Klobuchar and Pete Buttigieg, who suspended their candidacies shortly before Super Tuesday, have also endorsed Biden. Warren dropped out on Thursday and has not endorsed any candidate. In an impassioned speech Tuesday night, Sanders took on Biden head-on, faulting Biden for voting to support the Iraq War and cut Social Security benefits, while Sanders led the fight to expand Social Security and oppose the Iraq War. San Diego County Democratic Party Chair Will Rodriguez Kennedy says Democrats had strong turnout nationwide, adding that Biden did better than expected. He believes most people have a, quote, warm feeling toward Biden. But East County Progressive Democratic Club leader James Elia, who has been campaigning for Sanders, says he believes Sanders is the strongest candidate to beat President Donald Trump in November. Elia believes a Sanders-Warren ticket would be unbeatable in a matchup against Trump-Pence. Kennedy believes that whoever wins the primary, there is reason to be optimistic about Democrats defeating Trump in the fall. In the Republican primary, in which the party endorsed President Donald Trump for re-election, the president captured an overwhelming 92% of the vote in California, despite impeachment by the House, with Bill Weld and Joe Walsh each taking 2.5%. Tony Krivorek, chairman of the San Diego County Republican Party, says he is cautiously optimistic too, adding, "We did a great job of turning out voters." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Miriam Raftery. This is East County Magazine's Capitol Report, bringing you the latest news and newsmakers from our nation's capital.
In the hotly contested 50th Congressional District, to fill the seat vacated by the resignation of disgraced Congressman Duncan D. Hunter, Democrat Amar Campanijar is leading with 34.4% of the vote and appears headed for a runoff in November against former Congressman Daryl Issa, who has 24.7% of the vote. Republicans Carl DeMaio, a conservative radio host, and State Senator Brian Jones have 21.1% and 10.7% respectively. Marissa Calderon, a Democrat who dropped out of the race, still received 5.2%. Four other candidates scored in low single digits. Campanijar has run on the slogan, "Country over party." Though he worked in the Obama administration, he has positioned himself as a moderate Democrat, on issues such as guns, while proposing to phase in a Medicare for those who want it option that would allow people younger than 65 an option to buy into Medicare early, among other reforms. ISA has touted his support of President Donald Trump on immigration, border security, trade, and more. ISA's appointment by Trump to a trade position, however, may have been rejected by the Republican-controlled Senate due to a failed FBI background check. ISA drew criticism during the campaign for gay bashing after sending out mailers referencing DeMaio as a gay man. The district has been represented by Republicans for decades, first by Duncan Hunter Sr. and later by his son, Duncan D. Hunter, who pled guilty to a federal corruption charge for spending campaign funds on personal use. He is awaiting sentencing later this month. In San Diego's other congressional races, where the top two advance to the November general election, even if one candidate has over 50% of the vote, Democrats are strongly positioned to keep all four seats. In the 49th District, Democratic Congressman Mike Levine leads Republican Brian Marriott by a 56-44% margin. Incumbent Democratic Congressman Juan Vargas topped Republican Juan Hidalgo by a 70-30-point difference in the 51st Congressional District. In the 2nd District, incumbent Democrat Scott Peters at 48% and Republican Jim DeBayo at 36% will head to the runoff race in November, beating out Nancy Cassidy and Ryan Cunningham. In the 53rd, two Democrats, children's advocate Sarah Jacobs and San Diego City Council President Georgette Gomez, will run off in November to fill the seat being vacated by the retirement of long-serving Democratic Congresswoman Susan Davis. Jacobs received 30% and Gomez 19% of the vote in a field of 13 candidates. The 53rd Congressional District includes the heart of the city of San Diego, as well as La Mesa, Lemon Grove, part of El Cajon, Jamul, Chula Vista, and more. Jacobs says she's dedicated her career to building a better, safer world and fighting for the most vulnerable people by making institutions and policies fairer. She served at the U.S. State Department in the Obama administration, at UNICEF, and at the United Nations. She holds a master's degree in international security policy and conflict resolution from Columbia University. She's also founder and chair of San Diego for Every Child, the Coalition to End Child Poverty. Granddaughter of Qualcomm founder Irwin Jacobs, she wants to harness technology to solve big problems. She served as founding CEO of Project Connect, a nonprofit that helped map every school in the world with the goal of connecting everyone to the internet, a project that is now a flagship part of UNICEF's work around the world. She also views affordable housing, gun violence, and climate change as key concerns. Georgette Gomez, San Diego City Council President, is the Democratic Party's endorsed candidate in the 53rd Congressional District. The daughter of immigrant parents, if elected, Gomez will be the first LGBTQ Latina in Congress, where she wants to focus on needs of working families and communities. On the City Council, she's worked to expand affordable housing and protection for renters, as well as implementing the city's climate action plan. She holds an environmental degree from San Diego State University, and as a former associate director of the Environmental Health Coalition, led a campaign to protect children from toxic chemicals in the neighborhoods. Gomez says she is running for Congress because we need the federal government to really invest in our communities, which need better education, infrastructure, jobs, and housing, in her view, as well as to prioritize addressing the climate crisis. On health care, Gomez supports Medicare for All as the ultimate solution, but realizes this will take time. She wants to build support for this, while meanwhile protecting those without insurance or whose insurance isn't affordable. Trump is attacking what we already have, she says, noting that his actions have weakened the Affordable Care Act. Gomez also believes in protecting and expanding Medicare and Social Security for seniors, which is also under attack. We're going backwards, she says, adding that she believes security in retirement years should be a basic right. High healthcare premium costs and copays, as well as prescription drugs, are concerns Jacob says she hears about frequently from families. She says, "I think healthcare is a human right, and we need to be doing everything we can to get to universal coverage. I do support Medicare for all, and I would vote for any of the bills in the House." She also wants to bring down healthcare costs and crack down on pharmaceuticals, spending more on marketing to consumers than on innovation. Jacobs also wants to increase funds for the National Institutes of Health for grants to invest in research and bring down costs. Jacobs says Tuesday's election results show that San Diegans are ready to send a new generation of leaders to Washington to end politics as usual. Jacobs concludes, "I'm going to go to Washington with one goal in mind, to actually make a difference in San Diegans' lives by respecting everyone, listening to everyone, and working across the aisle." Gomez says she is thrilled to be advancing to the runoff, adding, "As a community organizer, MTS chair, and city council president, I have a proven record of creating change. I've been a strong progressive voice in San Diego, and that's the kind of Congress member I'll be." Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
Two Republicans will face off against each other in the second supervisorial district after Democrat Kenya Taylor failed to make the runoff. Former State Senator Joel Anderson says fixing roads and providing attainable housing for the next generation are his top priorities. He touts his legislative experience working across the aisle on bills and says he'll lobby for Sacramento for more funds for our region. Poway Mayor Steve Voss, who is also president of SANDAG, wants to focus on public safety, infrastructure, building housing, and preserving open spaces. He urges voters to look at his record in Poway, which ranks high in public safety, open spaces, and meeting housing needs. The winner of the November election will fill the seat being vacated by Diane Jacob due to term limits. Jacob, who has represented East County for over 25 years, has endorsed Voss. The campaign saw deceptive mailers by the Anderson campaign with photos of Voss juxtaposed alongside images of liberals, including Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders, though Voss is a conservative. A public safety PAC ran ads for Voss that criticized Anderson for taking campaign contributions over the legal limit a decade ago and returning $100,000 in excess donations after being fined by the Fair Political Practices Commission. Anderson also drew controversy during his last year in the legislature when he was censured in a bipartisan motion for reportedly threatening to slap a woman lobbyist. A key issue for the winner in this race will be how to meet state affordable housing mandates and whether or not to approve sprawl developments in rural areas. Voss touts his record in Poway of having more open space than any other city in the county while building attractive affordable housing for veterans and seniors. His city has also been ranked the safest in the region and best place to raise a family. Anderson quips that he's never been accused of being an environmentalist. He is endorsed by the San Diego Association of Realtors and says a priority for him is making sure young people don't have to move away from San Diego due to a lack of housing. Both want to address the homelessness crisis and have more mental health services. Anderson calls for benchmarking to see what programs work and encourage more people to donate to nonprofits making a difference. He also wants to see more beds in mental health hospitals to help homeless people with mental illnesses. Voss notes the Supreme Court ruling has made it illegal to arrest homeless people for sleeping in public places if there are no shelter beds. Residents have a right to clean and safe streets, neighborhoods, and parks, he says, but adds that we also have a moral obligation to help those who are less fortunate or going through tough times. He says this issue is personal to him since his sister has a mental illness and was once homeless. He praised supervisors' recent action in approving funds for shelter vouchers and looking for shelter locations and wants to create a mental health services hub. Anderson drives an electric car but opposes solar on every house as a waste of money. He says that drives up housing costs. He wants wind turbines to go in areas with wind and showed little concern for residents near existing turbines who have complained of noise, flashing lights, and other issues. Voss is optimistic about solar, but voiced concern over disruption of quiet enjoyment of property for people living near large wind turbines as well as reduced property values. As for sand mines proposed in our region, Voss said he has great concerns about mines proposed where equestrian riding trails, homes, and businesses would be impacted. Anderson says he wants to see results of an environmental study and hard proof that sand mines proposed in Lakeside and at Cottonwood won't negatively impact neighbors. On transportation, both want more funding for highway improvements promised to East County voters instead of shifting road money to trolley lines downtown, which Anderson calls the wrong direction. Voss, as Sandag chair, says balance is key to be sure there is transit in urban areas while also prioritizing expansion of Highway 67, 52, and others to end gridlock. Anderson proposes development of land around Gillespie Field to raise tax revenues and provide jobs in clean tech or biotech. Voss also is interested in Gillespie development as well as trade programs in schools to prepare students for better-paying jobs. Asked about ambulance and fire response times, Voss says he wants folks to be safe and know that if you call 911, a response will come in time to provide aid. Anderson blamed bad roads for some slow ambulance response times. On fire protection, he suggested the county might want to look at other options for places like Julian, besides having CAL FIRE in charge of the county's fire agency. Both Anderson and Voss have experience in criminal justice. Voss chaired a criminal justice committee for Sandag, and Anderson has introduced criminal justice reforms when he was in Sacramento. Anderson says he takes a balanced approach, wanting to be sure criminals are prosecuted, that innocent people aren't jailed, and that prisoners are treated humanely. Voss touts his record as mayor of Poway, ranked the safest city in the county. Both pledge to look at the high rates of deaths in county jails and seek improvements to save lives. Diane Jacob long made spending on protecting open space, creating parks and trails, and building new libraries priorities. Anderson says he wants to put kids first along with infrastructure as his spending priorities instead of buying up more open space. Voss says he's a big fan of libraries as well as trails and open spaces. Both pledge to continue Supervisor Jacob's tradition of regular coffees or other meetings in communities across the district. Voss adds that his cell phone is published as mayor of Poway, so constituents can reach him anytime, and he plans to continue that tradition if elected supervisor. You can find our complete radio interviews with both Steve Voss and Joel Anderson at eastcountymagazine.org in the radio section, where we post podcasts of all interviews on our show. Reporting on KNSJ, the Network for Social Justice, this is Miriam Raftery.
Two land use initiatives on San Diegans' countywide ballot Tuesday could influence the future of major housing developments in our region. Measure B, a developer-backed proposal to affirm a 3-2 vote by supervisors to build the controversial Newland Sierra housing project at far higher density than the county general plan allows, went down in a crushing defeat, with 58% voting no and 42% voting in favor. Measure A, which would give voters countywide the right to vote on any major housing project that would require a waiver of the general plan, is also losing by a narrow 51% to 49% margin. All precincts have been tallied, but some mail-in ballots remain to be counted. Supporters said Measure A is needed to preserve open spaces and to prevent sprawl developments in high fire-risk areas where evacuation routes could become gridlocked. They wanted to give the people the final say on such projects in rural areas. Opponents say Measure A would make it harder to fill the region's housing needs, and that supervisors, not voters, should decide whether and where to build large-scale projects that exceed general plan requirements. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Liz Alper.
Measure S, which would raise the sales tax in Lemon Grove by 0.75 cents, is failing by a substantial margin with 59% opposed and 41% in favor. All precincts have been counted, but mail-in ballots remain to be tallied. The measure aimed to raise $3 million for the financially strapped city. Without more revenues, Lemon Grove could be forced to consider disincorporating as a city and reverting back to county control. Former Lemon Grove City Councilmember George Gastel, an organizer of the sales tax measure, says, "I am sure we will try again because we honestly have no choice." He accuses opponents of using scare tactics and says the reality is that the city's budget trajectory is grim without more revenues. An option supporters are now considering is adding a sunset provision that would end the sales tax increase after 10 years, giving the city the option to extend it. He says some voters didn't understand that they already pay a similar sales tax, when they shop in neighboring La Mesa, or that revenues from Measure S would bring benefits to Lemon Grove. The city faces a deficit of $219,000 at the end of this fiscal year. That deficit could reach $1.2 million by 2022. Gastel faults opponents for emphasizing no guarantees. He says the budget is a public document, so residents can see how every dollar is spent. Nearly all of the city's revenues are spent on public works, including sheriff and fire services, leaving not enough money to repair roads, provide recreation services, or other things residents have requested. Every member of the city council supported this tax measure. Gastel hopes the council will survey voters and put a similar measure on the ballot for the November general election. La Mesa Chamber of Commerce President Mary England was the principal opponent of the measure. She objected to it as a lifetime tax with no sunset provision. She contends there was no adequate discussion with business owners before the measure was put on the ballot. She also objects to ballot language stating that Measure S would ensure that Lemon Grove would stay an independent city and not be controlled by county bureaucrats. England claims that in rejecting the measure, voters have shown that they don't care about losing their independence and must want to be governed by county bureaucrats. If supporters go back to voters with the new measure, England says, since the city of Lemon Grove in March rejected the measure and nothing happened to the local government, what will be truth or fiction in November? What tactic will be used to scare the voter into supporting a new tax measure? Unlike neighboring cities, Lemon Grove has far fewer retail stores and no regional mall to generate sales tax revenues. The city has many low-income residents, so also lacks the higher property tax base of cities with wealthier residents and larger homes. Lemon Grove recently celebrated its 40th anniversary as a city. But if voters sour on the idea of a November tax increase a second time, the city's long-term future will be in jeopardy. Reporting for East County Magazine from Lemon Grove, this is Jonathan Getz.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.
Three contested Superior Court judicial races were won outright in Tuesday's election, with winners getting more than 50% of the votes, while a fourth will head for a runoff in November. Michelle Ialeggio trounced Sean McMillan 76% to 24%, with 100% of precincts reported, but mail-in ballots remaining to be counted. McMillan was rated lacking qualifications by the San Diego County Bar Association. C.J. Modi won his race outright over Roberta Winston, 57% to 43%. Alan Wong Robinson won 52% of the vote, defeating Mark Skeels and Steve Miller. Miller was also ranked lacking qualifications by the Bar Association. The fourth race is still too close to call and will head to a runoff. Paul Sturita has 30%, followed closely by Tim Nader at 24%, Pete Murray, 23%, and Mike Murphy, 22%. Mail-in ballots will determine the outcome in this race. Though judicial races are nonpartisan, with no party affiliation listed on ballots, Democrats backed Ialeggio, Winston, Robinson, and Nader, while Republicans backed Modi and Skeels, making no endorsements in the remaining two races. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Getz.
Welcome to Destination East County with your hosts, Rebecca Williamson
and Jonathan Getz, bringing you the top festivals, events, and attractions across East County
each week.
This week's Destination East County features St. Patrick's Day Fun at Hooley's Irish Pub, Irish Teas in Julian, Spring Wildflower Walks in the Anza Borrego Desert, Agatha Christie's The Hollow in La Mesa, and concerts at the Magnolia in El Cajon.
Plus, we have a preview of coming attractions, including a Latinx film and art festival at San Diego State, Extravaganza at Santee Lakes, and Cajon Classic Cruises in El Cajon.
So stay tuned for all of these events and many more.
Julian Tea and Cottage Arts invites you to celebrate St. Patrick's Day with a green-themed four-course tea from March 12th through March 16th. There are three seatings daily. The menu includes soup, mini cheese scones, finger sandwiches, scones with curds, jam and whipped cream, plus dessert. Vegetarian and gluten-free options are available on request. For reservations, visit joyandtea.com.
Hooley's Irish Pubs in La Mesa and Rancho San Diego invite you to come enjoy a pint of ale on St. Patrick's Day from 11 a.m. to midnight. Guests are invited to wear green and enjoy live music. Find directions and details at hooleys.com. That's HOOLEYS.com.
The Anza Borrego Desert Foundation is offering guided walks to see desert wildflowers and other plants each Friday morning from now to the end of March. Botany Society volunteers will lead hikes to view desert blooms. Participants will carpool to the flower areas, so locations and driving distances will vary. If you go, be sure to bring water and sun protection. Reservations are required, and there is a limit of 30 people for these free wildflower walks. To register, you can call 760-767-0446, extension 1002, or visit the Anza Borrego Foundation website at theabf.org.
Lamplighters Theater in La Mesa will present Agatha Christie's murder mystery, The Hollow, through March 29th. An unhappy game of romantic follow the leader explodes into murder one weekend at The Hollow. Dr. Christou, the Harley Street Lothario, is at the center of the trouble when, assembled in one place, we find his wife, his mistress, his former lover, and other guests. As the list of romantic associations grows, so does the list of potential suspects when Dr. Christou is shot dead. Nearly everyone has a motive, but only one of them did the deed. Find tickets and details at lamplighterslamesa.com.
The Magnolia Center in El Cajon has a variety of shows coming up in the next few weeks. Upcoming performances include Latin American comedian Sofia Nino de Rivera, the famed Monkees Rock and Roll Band, Italian singer Zucchero, and the Mavericks performing country and Latin music. For tickets and the full lineup, you can visit MagnoliaSanDiego.com.
San Diego State University will host a Latinx film and art festival on Sunday, March 22nd, from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Conrad Prebys Aztec Student Union Theater. In collaboration with Teatro Azteca, a film and art festival that celebrates Latinx culture, featuring works from both students and local artists. For tickets and details, visit sdsu.edu and click on Campus Events.
WineWorks in La Mesa invites you to test your knowledge, vie for prizes, and make new friends at trivia nights held each Thursday from 6 to 8 p.m. For more information, you can visit lamesawineworks.com.
Spring is in the air at Santee Lakes, which will host its annual Egg Extravaganza on Saturday, April 4th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. This event will feature egg hunts for children, craft booths, inflatables, carnival rides, pony rides, face painting, food, and more. Find directions and details at SanteeLakes.com.
Cajon Classic Cruises revs up for a new season starting April 15th with a full street closure in downtown El Cajon. The Classic Cruise Nights continue each Wednesday night from 5 to 8 p.m. all spring and summer long. For details and a schedule of events, visit downtownelcajon.com.
That's all for this week. You can find details on all of these events and more in the calendar and events section at our website, EastCountyMagazine.org.
If you have an event you'd like added to our calendar, or if you would like to sponsor the Destination East County column on our website, or the Destination East County show on KNSJ Radio, You can contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. Destination East County is the most read feature on our website.
We'll be back soon with more festivals, events, and attractions in San Diego's East County.
See you around, East County.
This is East County Magazine's People Power, profiling local people making a positive difference in our community and our world.
Prom season is coming up, but for many young women, the cost of formal dresses and accessories for school proms or other special occasions may be unaffordable. So Foothills Christian Church in El Cajon will be giving away fashionable formal wear for young women on Saturday, March 14th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Elizabeth Church, administrative assistant, says, "We are here to help young women who might need a helping hand getting a formal dress for any occasion." She adds, "We want to make sure that no young ladies are sitting at home without a dress. Help us make dreams come true." If you have a formal dress, shoes, or jewelry in good condition to donate, you can drop off items Tuesday through Friday during business hours at the church office. For more information on donating items or receiving donated formal wear, you can contact Elizabeth Church at 619-442-7728 or email elizabethchurch@foothillschurch.org. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Jonathan Goetz.
Now it's time for the Green Scene Report, highlighting energy, environmental, and sustainability issues in our community.
The kelp forests off the west coast are being decimated at an alarming rate by marine heat waves linked to climate change. That's the word from seven top marine scientists who just wrote an open letter about it, published in Science magazine. According to Stanford professor Fiorenza Michelli, kelp forests are a sentinel for the health of the oceans.
We're seeing change that is happening very rapidly and on a very large scale, and it's affecting this ecosystem, and very little is being done.
Studies predict that unless the world stops dumping increasing amounts of CO2 into the atmosphere, marine heat waves will become the new normal by the end of this century. Michelli calls for better monitoring and more research to identify heat-resistant types of kelp that can be used for restoration. Off the coast of Northern California, 90% of kelp has died off in the past 5 years, which threatens many species of commercially important fish. Michelli believes the United States must join other countries to tackle the ultimate driver of this problem, climate change.
Global action and addressing the ultimate cause of this problem, that is the most important part of this. Everything else is really just a way of buying some time.
She adds that California, Oregon, and Washington State need to coordinate efforts to restore damaged kelp forests, remove some of the sea urchins that are overfeeding on the kelp, and protect otters and other species that prey on sea urchins. Support for this reporting was provided by the Pew Charitable Trusts. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
You're listening to the East County Magazine Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, bringing you public interest news for our region.
California is taking action on multiple fronts to combat Trump administration policies that the state sees as harmful to children, according to State Attorney General Javier Becerra. Becerra was among those honored on Thursday at the State of the Child 2020 event. Myra Alvarez with the Children's Partnership notes that California's AG has launched multiple lawsuits to protect access to health care and public benefits.
That really demonstrate California's leadership in upholding our values of diversity and family and community that make sure we put our children front and center.
Becerra condemned the administration's new public charge rule for sowing confusion among immigrant families, leading many to needlessly withdraw from programs that benefit their U.S.-born children. He also criticized attempts to add a citizenship question to the 2020 census, which eventually were nixed by the courts. The event also honored Giannina Perez, Governor Gavin Newsom's senior advisor on early childhood. Alvarez praises Newsom's decision to create a new agency dedicated to young children.
A new Department of Early Childhood Development would really bring education and health together to really take a comprehensive whole child, whole family approach.
This year's State of the Child event commemorates the 25th anniversary of the founding of the Children's Partnership, a nonprofit that has successfully pushed for extra funding in the new state budget for early education and supportive home visits for new mothers. For California News Service, I'm Suzanne Potter.
California Attorney General Javier Becerra has announced a DNA technology advancement that will enable the California Department of Justice to solve more missing person cases. The department is the first accredited state crime lab in North America to begin fully sequencing mitochondrial DNA, which makes it easier to test degraded evidence samples that have been subjected to harsh environmental conditions. This advancement is particularly important to process DNA involving unknown human remains and help families find closure regarding loved ones who have gone missing. Attorney General Becerra says, quote, "Anything we can do to help families find closure is critical." He adds, "This breakthrough will help make a direct difference in people's lives." When biological evidence has been exposed to harsh environmental conditions, DNA may be broken down into small pieces. This makes it harder to successfully obtain DNA information that can be used to identify an unknown person. When human remains have been outdoors for extended periods of time, scientists at crime labs often turn to mitochondrial DNA, since it is generally present in far greater quantities than standard nuclear DNA. While nuclear DNA is typically more informative, sometimes mitochondrial DNA is all that is available. Mitochondrial DNA is found in mitochondria, which are organelles inside human cells. Mitochondria are involved in a biochemical process used for breathing and energy production in the body. Organelles exist outside of the cell's nucleus, where human DNA is packaged, and are found in every human cell. Mitochondrial DNA only contains DNA information that is passed along maternally. Taking advantage of massive parallel sequencing technology, the State Justice Department's Bureau of Forensic Services has now validated a process for sequencing all mitochondrial DNA. Previously, only part of the control region of mitochondrial DNA, approximately 5% of the genome, was analyzed in cases involving unknown persons. This new advancement in technology will be used to compare mitochondrial DNA provided by families to biological evidence found in cases involving human remains, a process that the Justice Department hopes will lead to solving many more missing persons cases, including cold cases using evidence found years ago. Reporting for East County Magazine on KNSJ, this is Brianna Gomez.
The East County Magazine Show airs Mondays and Fridays on KNSJ from 5 o'clock to 6 o'clock p.m. You can listen live at 89.1 FM or online at knsj.org. You can also listen anywhere by downloading the TuneIn application for your smartphone. For details, visit tunein.com.
This concludes today's edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show. We extend our appreciation to the Heartland Coalition, our parent nonprofit, and to KNSJ 89.1 FM, broadcasting from the heart of East County in Descanso. We extend our appreciation to our sound technician, Jonathan Getz, and to our producer, Miriam Raftery. We also thank the musicians who provided music for our show, Laura Preble, Jim Hannibal, Corey Clement, Giovanni Galicia and the Smashing Beats, Wooden Ambulance, Dusty Summer Road, A.K. Jewel, Brian Boyko, Royalty Free Music, Frank Nora, Kevin McLeod, April's Dance from the Smart Sound Solo Simplicity Collection, Turco, Nomads of the Silk Road, Blues 3 Music, and Pond 5. If you would like to underwrite or sponsor the East County Magazine radio show, or get involved as a volunteer on our public interest news show, please contact editor at eastcountymagazine.org. We'll be back soon with another edition of the East County Magazine Radio Show.
You're listening to KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, broadcasting from the mountains to the sea.